The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Oh, I am your host. I am here. And, what an amazing day this is for us. I've been talking to Dennis Kucinich and trying to get him on the radio from time to time over a five-year period, and today he's going to be showing up right on the half hour.
Got him?
Fabulous. Okay, it'll all work out.
I'll call him.
Okay, that's Gail in the background. She's filling in. We were hoping to hook up with Nathan White, the press secretary, before this, but we've been in contact with Washington all morning, and we'll fill you in more on what that's about shortly. You know, we're actually here in our 22nd year of bringing you dialogues that are really intriguing and thought-stimulating and, we hope, very relevant to the future of America. And want to ask a question while we're on the air? You can send me an email at val@wakinguminamerica.com. That's V-A-L @wakinguminamerica.com. And if we have time, we will actually read your question on the air. So make sure you call your friends and invite them to be with us right now, because this is actually history in the making. On this very special day in Congress, the hearings are happening right now for something that has never happened in America before, which would be a comprehensive health care bill. So, you know, when our forefathers came along, they really tried to set things up for us so that we could be winners. And over the years, our rights and our ideals have been eroded. So let's go back to the way it used to be. And to get things started off, let's remember what our forefathers gave us when they gave us the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you put your hand over your heart, here's what I'd like to say. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I like that. And that's what America stands for, or did stand for, to the rest of the world. And slowly that has been eroding, and now there's a time that we can reclaim and bring back the power of the Declaration of Independence and the power of the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and in 1984 I carried the Olympic torch, and today I invite you to light your torch and join the standards held forth by the bearers of this 2,000-year-old flame, which is swifter, higher, stronger, or Sidious Altius Fortius. We've had guests on Waking Up in America that definitely reflect these values, from Dennis Kucinich, who's coming today, to the dearly beloved Senator Alan Cranston, to John Denver and Willie Nelson, to internationally known nutritionist J.J. Virgin, taekwondo champion. As you can see, we cut across the grains of greatness in America. Wayne Dyer have been here. Larry Hagman talks about solar. He'll be back in December. Bob Stracosta of the Home Shopping Network says, we're doing radio which will change the world. I actually think we're doing radio that will wake up the world to the wonders that are actually here in our world right now that don't even have to be developed. They just have to be embraced. Let your friends know about us. Visit our website and sign up for our newsletter at wakinguminamerica.com. That's wakinguminamerica.com. If you hear a telephone ringing, a dog barking, or an angel singing, know that we call in from our homes and offices all over the world to cause this program. I'm expecting a drop-in visit from Lisa Molson. Are you here yet, Lisa? Well, Gail Ellen, I know you're here.
Here we are.
And here we are. We're doing it again. And I titled this thing, Gail, Healthcare. Today's rant is either healthcare or not to care.
Oh, that's so good.
60 years now we've been trying to get a healthcare program going in this country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we haven't pulled that off yet. But we'll get the latest scoop, Gail, when Congressman Kucinich shows up at the half hour. In the interim, I found out some really interesting things about him. Did you know that he was the youngest mayor of Cleveland?
Isn't that amazing? I believe he was the youngest person ever elected to lead a major American city.
You are totally, absolutely correct.
Yes, I mean, at the age of 31, can you imagine?
Well, you know, I thought that was really impressive, and then I noticed that he'd actually been on the city council at 21 or 22.
Yes.
So we don't even, you know, his mayor at 30, what was it? Yeah, Cleveland is a big city.
Huge city and very powerful city.
So you know he took on the power company, right?
I mean, he just was not fooling around from the very beginning.
I want to write a book about him, Gail, called Dennis and Goliath.
So appropriate.
Don't you think?
Well, he's truly a warrior for peace and a warrior for the removal of corporate privilege and public domination and a lot of other things. So he really is a warrior.
You know what? I'm wondering, because they're having hearings today and tomorrow, you know, in Washington on this issue, and he and Congressman Conyers are actually the, what do you call it, the authors or the sponsors.
For the hearings?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
For H.R. 676, okay, which is the health care bill they sponsored. What they want is a single-payer document, and I wasn't sure what that meant. When
well,
you hear single
payer, fill us in. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I thought so too. So I asked Nathan White, his press secretary, and he said that that means that one person is paying the bills.
I see.
Well, you know, I want Dennis to tell us more about that. But what I'm thinking is, isn't that what Medicare does, or does it, or do you know anything about
well,
that?
It's so funny because I'm just 2 years older than Congressman Kucinich. I was born in 1944, so I'm now registered for Medicare. That's something you have to do when you turn 65 in this
yeah.
country. That's what you do. And what happens is with it is that I'm still a working professional, so there is a deduction that comes out of my check for Medicare.
And how much is yours?
It's like, I mean, it's a small
$60
amount.
$60 or $70. It's
but,
not a lot.
But I'm on what they call a Section A, you know. So it's like a backup. But and then there's Section B, C, and D, and then D is like the overall coverage. But to be honest with you, I'm just still educating myself about it, how it works, you know, just really educating myself about it.
Well, from the outside, I look at Medicare, and it seems to be working, and I'm wondering, you know, we'll have to find out what this H.R. 676
right.
implies,
right.
but it seems to me that Medicare works unless we don't know something.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Val. I'm originally from Canada, and Canada has a healthcare system that works.
How does that work?
Well, it is extraordinary. They have it in certain European countries also. These systems work.
Well, it's funny. I was reading France, and they seem to have one that works too.
Yes, they do, and no one is denied. Everyone gets good care, and all I can say is that there is a history of the medical practice for all individuals working.
So we've got models all over the place, is what you're saying, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm curious why we make such a big... Well, I could speculate here that the pharmaceutical companies and the individual medical providers don't want to give up their monopolies. Would you think that's what's going on?
I'm sure that's part of it. And it's so interesting because... Congressman Kucinich has a long history of, you know, being able to go up against some of the big boys and maneuver things to really make a difference.
Well, you know, I voted for him in the last election, even though I knew he wasn't going to win the election because people mm-hmm. that are for peace just don't win usually.
Right.
You know, if they want somebody to win for peace, we usually elect a general that'll kill everybody and then everything
right.
will be peaceful.
It sounds like an elusive kind of platform, yet if you really contemplate it and think about it, it's so real and so significant. I think one of the things he wanted to do was actually create a Department of Peace, which is amazing.
I do too. And I'll tell you what else I think is amazing. You know, he was part of the impeach Bush movement, and he wanted to impeach him because of all the rights that were being taken away from us. And it seems to me that even though impeachment isn't on the table as a conversation, that it's the grain of the man to make sure that the citizens of the United States have rights.
Yes, yes. Because so many of our rights are being taken away from us little by little by little. And it's, I think we're feeling it as a reality now. Do you ever feel that?
Yeah, I do. I feel the limitation. I feel the restriction. I feel the lessening of options. More and more subtle commands and things that to be done.
Yeah, and like power over the people. Do you feel that when you come?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, when you travel and, oh, my God.
I especially when I go through the airports and stuff.
Yep.
And it's not just that people want to search me. It's the attitude with
attitude.
Which they look at me. And I've actually found human beings in Minneapolis.
Wow.
Where the people that were going through, we were actually, like, engaging as humans.
Yes.
The rest of them, the TSA, I think it is, the officers, I don't know if they're being trained to be cold and disconnected, but it seems to me that American citizens are being treated like criminals at these checkpoints.
Part of their training, and I'm sure that some of that has to be there. But I just really think that this whole idea of creating a Department of Peace was absolutely on the cutting edge of the future.
Well, I received an email yesterday, Gail, and the email said something like, Dennis Kucinich has run for office a number of times, but he's always been at the bottom of the polls, right?
Mm-hmm.
That made me really laugh, because he hasn't always been at the bottom of the polls. What's happened is he's been denied he was denied access to the debates.
I see.
And if he'd ever been included in the debates, he actually might have taken more of the population.
With him.
With him, right. Because what they said was that the young people admire him.
Yes.
Okay, thank God.
You know, he's got such a young spirit, doesn't he?
He totally does. And this young spirit, you know, of course, that he hooked up with one of the most beautiful women I've ever laid eyes on. I met Elizabeth Kucinich over at Jan and Jerry Manperl's house. What an incredibly beautiful human being.
Well, not only is she beautiful inside and outside, but she's intelligent and compassionate and is a very high consciousness individual herself. And they're like soulmates. I mean, they're getting
they have to be
together.
She went into his I watched an interview with her, just totally charming, in a taxi cab, you know?
Uh-oh.
And she was talking about how when she saw him, it was love at first sight. But she didn't say she was being cautious, because she's very English and very elegant. But she says when she walked into his office and she saw the Buddhas and the spiritual images in his office, she said that was it for her. Now, this is a woman who, like, traveled to Africa to help with Mother Teresa's things when she was a teenager.
Uh-huh. I think it was actually in India. It was in Agra.
Yeah, in Agra.
Yeah.
Did I say something else?
Yeah, you did.
What did he say?
I don't know what you said.
Well, I definitely had her in India. If my mouth didn't, my heart did, because I was really impressed. I myself have been in Agra, okay? That's where the Taj Mahal is.
That's where she was. But I do remember it being reported that she did say that her description of Congressman Kucinich was that he had the wisdom of an ancient and the energy of a youth. And that they complement each other so much, because you see what she does is she supports his mission.
Yeah, she sure does.
Is a man on a mission, and she supports that.
Well, let me tell you something that's really funny. I met Dennis Kucinich at a house in Malibu when he was running for the 2004 presidency. And I thought, you know, he's a cute guy, and I knew that he'd been big in Cleveland, but I also knew that he was a vegan, and I also knew that he was a bit, he seemed a bit soft. I don't know what the right word is, but I didn't get his gusto and power in 2003. Then I saw him, like, last year, and I was talking, I said, Eileen, what happened to him? A friend of mine. And she goes, "Val, that's what happened to him." And she points over to this gorgeous redhead.
Wow.
And I want to tell you that the meeting of the soulmates created a synergy and an energy that was just, yep, it was like turning on the lights.
Yep.
It was, he found the piece that was missing for him. His clothing is richer. His personality is astoundingly powerful and just right on. I'm just so impressed. I mean, the man obviously had to be majorly talented to be elected so many times. And Elizabeth Kucinich put the frosting on the cake, as far as I was concerned. And that's the power and possibility of partnership. I would like to have a partnership that does that for me as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when these two got together, it wasn't just, an accidental match. These two were, I believe, in spirit, were joined by spirit.
Yes. I too, feel that that's very accurate, totally accurate. You know, one of the things that I'm so interested in, Val, is the Social Security, and I know that he's a strong, staunch supporter of preserving Social Security and that whole issue.
I just don't see how we can preserve. I was listening to Ben Bernanke say that he didn't word it very strongly. He said he believes the recession could be almost over.
I read that.
Oh, well, I heard him say it. I mean, it was so noncommittal and so blah. It was
like
something without salt.
Was it like an idea?
It was like he was being forced to say something and he didn't really want to say it, but he said it.
I see.
That's how it felt to me. It was like, no. He wasn't saying the recession is over. He wasn't saying things are getting better. He was saying almost kind of, sort of. And then on the other end of it, they were asking, like, what had it cost to bring us out of this, quotes, recession depression? And, Gail, they're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars that the American public are going to be burdened with, and that's the big fear about healthcare too, that more is going to be added to this. So I don't know. I mean, how does it feel to have a $1 trillion rock on top of the country?
Well, I think this is some of the input that hopefully we can get today.
God, it just
comes on, and when he talks to us, he maybe...
We've lost over 6 million jobs, and I guess one of the car companies is going to be hiring 1,000 people back. And they're saying that the recovery will be very soft, so I think people are really skittish about, they think anything's going to cost them anything.
I think that's what's happening. I think people are being cautious.
So did you by any chance see the president's address
on
healthcare?
I saw clips of it.
I actually did see it, and I think it was brilliant. But I also am very suspicious of it. Dennis Kucinich sends out a newsletter, which I get on a daily basis, and he's talking about trigger. Pardon?
What did he say about it?
He said, so boys and girls, return to it with us now. As the senators will take a page out of the Old West, they are going to do what cowboy hero Roy Rogers did when he got a jam. They are going to call for Trigger, the golden palomino. Trigger, the trusty steed who rode to glory against those phantom cattle rustlers who sold insurance against physical harm, provided, however, that the small-town marks bought the stolen beef. In this scene, Trigger will come off his mount of glory at the Roy Rogers and Dale Evans Museum in Branston, Missouri, and gallop to the mount of the glory of Capitol Hill, rear up a dazzling 24 feet, and by his sheer electrifying presence rescue the United States Senate and the administration from today's rustlers. I don't think so. I think that the rustlers are right there. I think that everybody's got so much special interest going on, and that there's so much paybacks going from... I saw an interesting thing. Michael Moore, they were interviewing Michael Moore, and he said the difference between Canadian media and United States media is that Canadian media and European medias are actually funded through the readership of the newspaper readers, and that American newspapers are funded through the advertisers, and they don't care about the readers.
Well, Yeah, but also something interesting about that now is that those advertising dollars aren't there so much.
Yeah. So now they're actually going to have to get into good journalism. So what if the advertising dollars, quotes, aren't given to Congress or get to the members of Congress anymore? What's going to happen then? Because that's what I think's being grappled with here.
Yes.
These guys and their perks.
Yeah. Well, again, it's been part of the paradigm. We know that. And now things are changing, and the sand is shifting, and a lot of those things aren't working anymore. And there's going to be some new ways of attacking things, new ways of doing things, and new ways of predominantly moving forward with agendas.
Well, that's really a good thing to hear. You know, I usually sign off the radio show with something clever or brilliant, and what I'm thinking of just encouraging people to do is to be alive and awake. If our listeners and our citizens and our friends are alive and awake, and we start paying attention, and we start using our brains, and we start sorting things out. Waking Up in America for 22 years has been known for dialogues. Dialogues don't mean that everything you hear you agree with. It means that it helps you root out something that's important to you. And Gail, you said you've just gotten Medicare recently.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't it nice?
It was nice.
For years, I struggled as my insurance premiums went up and up and up and up and up and up. Now I know that if something really bad happens, I can get into a doctor's office.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm lucky. What about the people that aren't my age?
Right.
Well, where do they go and what do they do? Nathan White and I, this morning, I was discussing illegal aliens with him because, of course, that gets a lot of people upset because illegal aliens get a lot of health care. You know what he said, and I agree with him. He said, so what if you found an illegal alien bleeding on the street? I said I'd take him to the hospital. He said, exactly. So are we ever to be a country that doesn't do that?
This is Congressman Dennis Kucinich calling.
Well, you certainly came in at the right moment, didn't you? We were just discussing illegal aliens, Dennis. Welcome to Waking Up in America. We're delighted to have you here.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
So you're actually stepping out of Congress, right?
We're in the middle of votes right now. There's debate on the floor, but you know I may have to go in a few minutes to go vote. But I did want to call in and participate in this discussion.
Well, let me ask you something. Tell us about H.R. 676 and what makes that important to us at this time in these meetings that you're having.
There is no other health care solution that will cover all people at and cost savings, doctor of choice, vision care, dental health, mental health care, prescription drugs, long-term care, and it's called 676, H.R. 676. It's the single-payer plan authored by myself and Congressman Conyers. This is the plan that takes all the health care resource of the country and uses it for health care instead of corporate profits, stock options, executive salary, advertising, marketing, cost of paperwork. So this is it. I mean, we need a national movement behind it. We need people to go to the websites that have petitions to be signed and other places let's start moving. Let's start organizing. It's going to take years to get there. We want an immediate solution. Well, we can weigh in on the debate right now. It may be slim pickings by the time this bill gets to the legislative process, though.
Okay, so what is the what is your competition on 676?
Insurance companies. Look, they have a for-profit system. They don't want it disturbed. They take one out of every $3, $2.4 trillion spent annually. That would be $800 billion. $2.4 trillion goes for the activities of the for-profit system. They clearly don't want to lose that privileged place. They make money not providing health care. They make money denying claims. So when you look at that, why do we support such a system which is contrary to the economic health of all Americans, as well as the physical health of all Americans?
Now, you've been a peace warrior since the day you were born, most likely. And in that journey that you've taken, haven't you noticed that that there's a lot of, let's say, incentive to people to vote for the insurance companies? To give the insurance companies this place? I mean, how did they worm their way in here if it wasn't by some kind of corruption happening inside
of our
own
system? Set up, and in some ways we unconsciously accept the structures that are in our society until we confront them and find out that they're dysfunctional or counterproductive. And so as people are having real-life experience with insurance companies, not able to get the care they're paying for, or not able to afford any care at all, as the copays and deductibles are driving people into bankruptcy, there's a reality check going on, and that reality check is causing more people to say, hey, this system doesn't work. It's breaking me.
You know, I was actually in Washington for the inauguration, and I experienced 2.5 days of the most amazing energy that I've ever known in my life with 2.5 million people in love, meeting them on the streets and feeling as though we had won something. And I would have to say that as time passes, President Obama seems more and more like an elegant Bush to me, and I was wondering if you're getting the cooperation that you need to get this bill through with
the
president.
Well, that's the thing that I'm listening very carefully to what you just said about what you felt then and what you feel now.
I feel very different than I felt at the inauguration.
And you know what? And we all participated in something very special on that day. We felt it. But let me respectfully suggest that energy that you felt was inside of you. It was part of, and it was a shared collective energy of other people who felt the same energy that came from inside of them.
Totally.
That energy is still there. The question is, how do we bring it back in the service of transformational social and economic change? That's what we're confronted with. So I don't put this to one person. I it's not about any one of us. It's about all of us. And so I still believe that we can recreate a movement at a grassroots level for a universal single-payer, not-for-profit healthcare system that in the 4 years this new bill, if it passes, would take effect, that during that time we should be organizing. Any major change that's ever come about in this country has only come about with a real struggle that percolated from the streets and reached Washington over sometimes a trajectory of a great amount of time. It's we're still at that trajectory in healthcare. I've got to go vote. I've got 40 seconds to vote. I want to thank you for being on your show, and I hope I can be with you again.
Oh, I totally appreciate that. We'll see what we can arrange through Nathan. And just before you leave, quickly, what's your best outcome for this vote? What do you want to see?
I don't know. It all depends what comes out of the Senate. I'm not optimistic that there's going to be a public option. That's why we have to keep working for a single-payer plan. And make it a commitment that healthcare is a civil right. Got to vote. Talk to you soon.
Okay, great.
Bye now.
Thanks. Whoa, it felt like a breeze blew through Gail.
It did. His energy and wisdom, and he's serious. And that's exactly what is needed to have this change happen.
And he's head of the committee.
Yes, and I'm so respectful of his respect.
Now, I did feel like he really listened.
Yes.
Remember I told you that he would answer things not the way I necessarily expected them, but perfectly?
Yeah.
I think that's what Elizabeth Kucinich saw when she saw him.
You heard what he said about that being inside you. And
yeah.
You could make a difference. I mean, he totally just validated that. And he's a good representative of following his own ideas. You see, he's walking his talk.
He sure is. And you know what his presidential slogan was? It was peace through strength. So with that, Gail, we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to hear a little bit of Diamond Alignment, and then we'll be back more to talk about this breath of fresh air that passed through.
Perfect timing.
Where is Diamond Alignment?
We live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times? Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, offers high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience, delivered via the internet, clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. The Diamond Alignment experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. When you experience the expansive energy of Diamond Alignment, you activate the unlimited wealth and potential within you.
About how our temperatures went up when Congressman Kucinich showed up on the air. Just such a privilege to have such a stellar human being present here. I like this guy, Strength Through Peace. That was his presidential slogan, and I voted for him, knowing full well that he wasn't going to get elected because people just don't like to elect for peace. But if we played enough Diamond Alignment around, perhaps they would. Also want to acknowledge the good guys that make Waking Up in America possible. That's Stardust. They actually have a rather fabulous mailing list of somewhere between 60 and 80,000 people that are of very high consciousness and are just great people to have in alignment with you on different projects. They have lots of services available. They're just really, it's a great list of human beings to be in contact with, and the mailing prices are just amazing, and the list is all double-checked, so you don't have to worry about offending anybody. And if you call Raw at 828-665-0411 and tell him Val at Waking Up in America sent you, guess what? He'll give you a discount. And you're going to be stunned at the effectiveness of the mailings and the cost. And you get a chance to perfect your own little hooks and things like that, because when you buy a slew of mailings, you can actually send out mailings and you can find out which title got you the best response. So it's a great laboratory, a very reasonably priced laboratory. Also, get tired of all this political conversation or what's going on in America? Mexico is now still honoring the dollar at 15 pesos to the dollar. That's very good, my friends. And you can go to Roberto's Bungalows in San Pancho, Mexico, and talk with Steve and Diana, and they've got great rates there for these little bungalows just within very short walking distance from the beach in one of the most charming towns I've ever lived in. I actually bought land down there. I like it so much. Steve and Diana can be reached at 971-239-4120. And once again, mention Waking Up in America, and that discount is waiting for you. The one question I didn't really, that was significant, was I had given Dennis Kucinich a bottle of Monavi recently, and I was going to find out how he liked it, but as I say, it was a fast breeze here. We have a call from Dennis Kucinich, it says here, has been called to the votes, so he is still going to be on our show. So this is really terrific, because he managed to fit us in right in front of the most important thing that he's doing, probably in his life, maybe what happens with these votes, and whether America has health care for the first time in ever. I mean, we've never had it except for Medicare, have we, Gail?
We have, well, not to this degree.
No.
Not to this degree.
I mean, I don't think there has been anything for Medicare. And as you saw when Dennis was talking, the important thing here was the surrendering of the insurance companies of their... I saw a thing on TV, Gail, where the insurance companies are actually getting bonuses for denying people their rights.
I'm sure. Well, you heard what he said about how that whole thing works with the insurance companies. They get a dollar out of every three. I mean, you heard what he said.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the stunning thing about him is his alignment. His alignment. So I think that what he said about it's going to take some time, but we can get on track.
You know, this thing when he's talking about 4 years, I didn't realize until like a week or so ago that anything that goes into effect, there's still going to be 4 more years before it actually happens.
I
was interested,
right,
in the fact that there actually will be time to organize it.
Well, all the more reason to get it going now, you see. So that actually was a very important moment there that we caught him. I mean, he was about to cast his vote.
Yeah.
So, I mean, totally respectful and on point.
And he didn't blow us off either.
On point.
It would have been real easy to blow us off. We originally had him scheduled for like 8 to 10 minutes, and I think it was more like 5 or 6, which is fine. I mean, I'm totally grateful that... This, I think, it's a demonstration of his integrity.
His integrity, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel...
I actually asked Nathan White, his press secretary, at one point. I said, is this really going to happen the way you say it's going to happen? And he goes, yes. And I don't know how many people you can talk to that will give you a definite thing, and it is always definite.
Yeah. Huge.
So I wish he was our state senator, to tell you the truth.
Oh.
But I'm not ready to move to Cleveland.
That's really important. Say that again.
I really wish that he was one of our state senators.
No. What you said about him keeping his word and knowing that...
I knew.
There was no uncertainty.
There was no uncertainty about whether he would keep his word or not.
Yeah. And so, you see, that's kind of integrous human beingness. That's why there's no nonsense with him, by the way, Valerie.
You think?
Yeah. No nonsense at all.
Well, I'd really love to go. I went to Washington twice now. I'd like to go to Washington, and I would actually like to go to Dennis's office and look around and see what Elizabeth saw. Because Elizabeth saw something that made her realize that this was the right man for her.
Mm-hmm.
And what she saw were a number of spiritual things in his office. And even his response to me about Washington, D.C. was about the inner voice and the inner feeling. And I've never heard another congressperson talk like that.
Well, just review again what you were saying about your feeling and how he asked you now to just consider your feeling now. That was a very profound...
I still feel the connectedness to the people, Gail.
Yes.
I think that's why I continue doing radio even when I think retiring would be a good idea. I want to travel the world, and it's hard to travel the world and do radio. But during these particular times, I think these times are pivotal for consciousness. You know, I don't know how many of our listeners are involved in the conversation of what's going to happen in 2012 or the end of the world or... whatever it is, or, you know, depending upon the Bible,
nothing's going to happen. I think
this could be the Jubilee. Do you know about that? Have you heard about that?
Yeah, it's...
No, the Jubilee is the time of celebration.
It is celebration.
Yeah. So in the Bible, they're saying that the times that are coming now could be the times of celebration. So people are interpreting the future with fear and also with celebration. So I know that I'm going to have a better future if I interpret it through celebration than fear. I'm very clear about that. If you go out into the world waiting for somebody to mug you, you're going to get mugged.
Well,
if you go out into the world...
With all your... how you step out. It's all how you step out. It's your vibration, and it's your intent.
You got it.
That's it.
I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I used to be the assistant coordinator of Los Angeles Now, with Gloria Allred was the coordinator. And during that period of time, I was the team leader for a consciousness-raising handbook. And in that, what we did is we put together 10-part series of questions that would help people evolve their consciousness. During that, one of the particular sessions which really struck me to write these different things, we would do research. And one of the sessions we did was on being raped. Okay? And there are a lot of incidences of rape or unwanted sexual assault between women that happens to women. And there's quite large numbers of it, and there's quite a few people in jail because of it. Interesting thing, Gail. When they showed convicted rapists pictures, guess what? They all picked the same ones to rape. They want victims. They don't want to get in trouble. So who do they pick? People that don't talk and don't stand up for themselves and have their heads bowed over. That's who they pick. So to make a comparison, if we create ourselves as people who are informed, who are awake, who are alive, who stand up tall, then we have a different world ready for us. People in the world are going to treat us differently.
Right, and I think we do have a whole different future with a lot of these changes that are about to start to occur.
Well, you know,
I've started
this Secure Party Creditor thing, you know. And I'm not going to tell listeners, you know, a deep amount of that. If you want to find out more about it, go look up UCC. Which is Uniform Commercial Code. But as a secure party creditor, I have a different... I don't need an attorney to go to court. I can go to court and represent myself, and I can represent myself through maritime law. And most of our listeners do not realize that maritime law is actually the law of the land. So there are all kinds of things. I don't think you're really aware of it, though. I've said it, Gail, that you're a billionaire. Do you know that? I mean, do you really get that you're a billionaire?
Well, tell me about this.
Well, your birth certificate, when you were born, it made you the heir to multi-billion dollars. Your birth certificate is being bought, sold, and traded, the value of it, on the stock markets. You, as an individual, are worth probably up to $300 billion. When you have to struggle to pay your bills and don't know what's going on, that's because you're not informed of your access to your wealth. You're actually separated from it. Back in 1933, the United States sold a lot of land to different places. Okay, and when they did that, ownership and things, you know, companies, corporations, foreign lands, things of that nature, when they did that, they received a lot of money for it. And you, as a sovereign of the United States of America, actually had... You were due part of that money, except you were never told that you were due part of that money. So when you go through the process of being a secure party creditor, you actually have access to your birth certificate funds. I just thought I'd say that kind of slow and see if it sinks in. You're worth $300 billion, Gail Ellen. Most people can't even hear it. I can't quite hear $300 billion, but I'm getting into the multi-millions in my brain already. So I went to court on Monday for the first time, and I presented myself as a secure party creditor, which something was really scary for me, actually, because I didn't know what they were going to do to me. And what happened was, when I read the rights, I told the judge that the judge needed to help me out, and I quoted Haynes versus Kramer, and I did all of these different things, and I created a script, and I followed the script when I went in, and here I was so afraid that something was going to happen or I'd make a fool of myself or something like that. And the opposing attorney put her head down and the judge smiled. That's what happened, basically. And we were talking about it before the show, because what you were saying was, I stood up and recognized who I am.
Right, and I think that's what we all have to do.
American citizens have to do that.
Yeah.
Whether it's as a secure party creditor, as a person, single party payer, from what I understand, simply means that one check takes care of your medical bills. I don't know what the big objection is to government handling it, because have you gone to the doctor yet on Medicare?
Oh, no.
I have.
Yeah.
You know what happens? When you get your Medicare bill back, it says on that bill, The cost of the visit, oh, perfect example would be the MRI, okay? Cost of the MRI was like $2,000. Medicare paid X number of dollars. How much I owed for this $2,500 thing or $2,000 thing was $80.
Right, like a copay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's so doable.
Yes, exactly.
Before I went to Washington, I have really bad back, Gail, and I had, on Medicare, I had cortisone put into my lower spine so I could stand up straight. $80. Procedure cost about $1,000. The doctors didn't get paid $1,000. They actually had their bill discounted by Medicare, and they accept it too, by the way.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing about not-for-profit. It is paying...
It's not-for-profit.
Yeah.
So when insurance companies are actually giving bonuses to their people for denying insurance, that's a terrible thing.
Well, it's about to change.
So, you know, we also said that this program was dedicated to Frank Kucinich and to Elizabeth Kucinich, and I think point of what that all touches is the importance of people in your life. Like, are you going through this whole thing alone? You know, when I want somebody to be on the air or I see a good subject, I'll call Gail. I've got a friend here, a very educated, very sharp friend who knows how to jump in, do research, and she's actually our arts and beauty editor for Waking Up in America. I've got other people that I called this morning when I needed some help with something. They're there. Do you have people to call, or are you trying as a listening audience, are you trying to do this all by yourself? Are you confused? You know, I'm thinking, Gail, the thing I like about Dennis Kucinich, besides I think he's right on, is his courage.
Tremendous courage. I applaud him for his courage. Medals to him for his courage.
You know, he stood up to the electric companies in Ohio.
That's right.
Well, I'm not even sure if he got reelected.
Well, that's what it takes, though, the courage. That's exactly what it takes.
He had something like 63 articles of impeachment on Bush.
Oh, really? Tell me about that.
He and a group of people in Congress got together, and they presented 63 articles of impeachment to Nancy Pelosi, and she wouldn't do it. I'm not making that point. The point I'm making is that for him to take that stand in such a unfriendly environment, I really do believe that the Congress of the United States of America is pretty much, what's the right word for it, Gail, favored by certain companies, and that many of the congressmen and women and many of the senators are actually performing for their sponsors rather than for their constituents.
Right. Say more about that.
Well, you know, this little, what do they call them when they stick them in the bills, these extra little things, these pork, what do they call them? There's a word for them. Earmarks. That's the word. All these little earmarks. These little earmarks that get, so you could have a bill on, you know, dog tags, okay? And at the end of the dog tags bill, you could have that a certain town is going to get a new town square. It's an earmark that's slipped in under, and the bills are so big, fat, and thick. I mean, you heard during the election, you know, Obama had $1 billion in earmarks. You know? Those are the things that I consider the payback. And if you take a look at Congress, those little puppies are slipped in all over the place on bills. And, oh, God, I actually was in town in the Palisades. I don't know if you heard me scream in Century City or not.
No.
I was driving over to my girlfriend's house in the Palisades, and I was listening to National Public Radio. And Bernanke saying that we had, that the recession was probably almost over, kinda. it was about that vague, is her comment. And then the commentator was saying, well, how much is all this going to cost? You know, what's been going on here since we've gotten to this point, and now, you know, things have turned around, and blah, 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 blah. And they started adding up the bill. Like, well, it would be $600 billion for this. It's already been spent. And they figured by the time, and then the Freddie Mac and the Sally Mays were, they were a huge part of the loss, and the government had bought all this bad paper, and well, by the time it was over, they were into the trillions. Google trillion and find out how many light years it takes to pay off $1 trillion. It's the figures are just astounding. I was screaming. I was talking to Cassidy and Michelle, and I was screaming that so far they're up to $3 trillion, and then I remembered that $3 trillion was the amount that the military had lost on September the 10th, the day before the offices of the finance offices were blown up at the Pentagon, and they were supposed to explain how they had managed to misplace $3 trillion. So all of this is so large and big to me that it isn't even real. And then I read the Wall Street Journal, Gail, and it says, the big boys are back. We're back again. And I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy that the boys are back. Because all of this stuff has been shuffled. Somehow we're responsible for these turkeys to the tune of trillions and trillions. So I actually, like, screamed. This woman on the street who was walking her dog, she turned around and she said, what was that? And I said, the financial burden, the trillions of dollars. And she just started to laugh, and she said, may I scream too? What else? Are you there? Did Gail Ellen disappear?
I lost you there.
Probably that scream.
I'm sure that's what it was.
That's probably that scream. So while all this is going on, one of the reasons why people are like so shy about this is they don't want that burden of the $1 trillion to grow even more. It's almost it's already impossible for most people.
Well, it's hard to get your head around that, and I think it's the important thing is to kind of evaluate what's in front of us on a realistic scale, and to trust our people in government, like Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who know the field, know how to work it, and know how to make change. And then
well, you know,
those kinds of individuals.
Our country has been after happen. Our country has been after a health care bill, Gail, for over 60 years now. So let's put ourselves behind whatever it takes to have this happen. If there's somebody in a fog, and I'm looking for a voice in a fog, I'm following Kucinich.
How do you mean?
If he says something, I'll follow him.
Yes.
If somebody, I actually had wanted to ask him about Ted Kennedy's loss in this and how that was affecting things. Did you get Ted's book yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, well, I like
it
very much.
It came out yesterday.
I know. I was hoping you'd be right over there with it because I wanted like the excerpt from the first chapter. I did look it up. It's on Amazon, guys.
Yes.
So you want Ted Kennedy's book, you can get a really good price out on Amazon, and you know who else is out. Dan Brown's new book is out. About
What's
symbols.
That about?
It's about
oh,
symbols.
Oh, right, I saw that.
You know, Robert Langdon.
Right.
So I thought I would
get... was Dennis aligned with Kennedy?
I wanted to find out. I didn't know, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That was the question that I had on my list to ask him about what that would cost, you know, what the cost of Kennedy's loss was to this whole project. But I do know that Kennedy stood for that for his whole life. I do know that health care was something that was important to him. I don't know if it was in the same form that Dennis wanted to have it.
Yeah, you know, I read an interesting excerpt about Ted Kennedy. In the very beginning, his father took him aside after the two sons who were supposed to be president and the terrible loss all the things that that family has suffered.
Oh, God.
His father took him aside and said, look, okay, so now what are you going to do with your life that's meaningful? And he was no nonsense.
This is for you. Oh, my God. There's
that
the sound, Gail.
That made him step up and step forward. So we have a future.
And we say so because we say so. We have a future. This program has been brought to you by the Golden Hearts Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, ConeanCompany.com, Mona V, Max GXL, Dr. James Murphy, In Memoriam. Thank you to the team at Voice America and to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People, and to Gail Ellen for a great rap, and Congressman Dennis Kucinich for heart and inspiration, and giving us special time right in the middle of his vote. And remember, stay awake, and remember, you're alive, and you are a billionaire. And if you want to know more about that, you can call me at 310-455-8623, and I'll send you in the right directions to find out more about that. And Gail, thank you so much.
You're
almost
well.
Ordinary people here. Hear the music, feel.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.